As you look at the screen, everybody, as you look at the screen, can I ask you what this is? That's not a hard question. Luke has got it right. But what if I feel that that's not a square? What if I feel that that's a triangle? Is that okay? Could it be a triangle? Because I feel that that's a triangle. Would that be okay? What's this? Thank you, Lucas. This is a circle. But what if I feel? Lucas is 2 for 2, by the way. What if I feel that's the triangle? I missed it on the, but now if I feel that's a triangle, is that okay? Does that make that a triangle? If I feel that that's a triangle, what's this? That's what you think. But what if I feel that that's actually the square and that's not a triangle? Does that make it a square because I feel that? Does it? What color? Now, some of you will be challenged with this. So, Diane, don't answer. And I would say the same thing to Josh, but Josh is preaching to Pompa this morning. So, what color is this? I know you think that, but what if I feel that that's yellow? If I feel that's yellow, if that's a part of me, does it make it yellow? What color is this? But if I feel that that's yellow, if I feel this one's yellow, does it make it yellow? What color is this? It's what you think. But see, that's just what you've been told. What if I feel that that one on the right is actually red and it's not what you think it is? Do my feelings change what a square is, what a circle is, what a triangle is? Do my feelings change what is red, what is blue, what is yellow? My feelings don't change that. When there is something that has a defined property, defined properties about it that are set out, what I feel about that are my feelings, but it does not change what it actually is. Because as we're going to talk about this morning, feelings are not a safe or a reliable guide for us. I want you to think about that. You had some people say amen, so all of a sudden you might think the preacher's saying something right now. He's already told you that these shapes don't make sense and he's got his feelings about them, so do you trust what this guy's saying up here? Feelings. Are they a safe and reliable guide? I want us to walk through this morning. And I want to allow the Bible to do the teaching this morning. But I want us to recognize today that we live in a society today. We live in a society that is taking people's feelings and allowing feelings to become reality. Allowing feelings to change that which is a defined element, that which has definition and has properties that have been understood by man since the beginning of time, but all of a sudden feelings now can change that, or can they? When it comes to our feelings, are feelings a safe and reliable guide? In any part of life, are they a safe and reliable guide? Are they a safe and reliable guide when it comes to the matter of our possessions? Safe and you say, what does that mean? Well, what if as we're leaving today, what if I just walk by your cell phone and I say, well, I feel like this is my phone, and I stick it in my pocket and I go on home. I feel it's mine. Who's to say that it's not mine if I feel that your phone is my phone? What if I find your keys laying on the pew and I just pick them up and I walk out and I get in your car and say, this feels like my car. This feels like this is my car, and I just drive off in your car. Some of you might say, hey, good luck with that. Have fun. Do my feelings change? The fact, whether that is mine or not, the feelings don't change that. Are feelings a safe or reliable guide when it comes to our income? Why don't you try at the end of the year when you are working on your taxes just to send a letter to the IRS and say, "Dear beloved IRS, I feel like I only made $2,000 this last year, so I don't owe you anything. Sincerely." Are your feelings going to change what the IRS says you actually made and how much you owe them? Go ahead and try that. Are feelings a safe and reliable guide? Are they a safe and reliable guide when it comes to driving? When those blue and red lights pull you over and you say, "I'm sorry, officer, it only felt like I was going 40 miles an hour. Is the officer going to say, "Well, you know, I clocked you doing 95 on 95, but since you felt like you weren't doing that, I'll just let you off"? Are feelings going to be what rules the day? It's not the way that it works. Our feelings don't change realities. Do our feelings, are they a safe and reliable guide when it comes to certain behaviors? There are some people in our society who want us to believe that child pornography is okay because they feel like that's okay. Because they feel it's okay, does that make child porn okay? Is the whole discussion about pedophilia, and some people think they feel it's okay. Does that make it okay? Because they all of a sudden, are we changing the boundaries of what is acceptable behavior in our society because somebody feels that pedophilia is okay? Because they feel that necrophilia is okay? Because they feel that incest is okay? If somebody feels like rape is okay, does that all of a sudden, well, they just feel that way, and so we need to respect their feelings? No, we don't need to respect their feelings. Safe and reliable guide? Is that our feelings? Are our feelings a safe and reliable guide when it comes to certain requirements in life? What if that soldier is standing there and the drill instructor comes and says, "Soldier, you didn't make your bed this morning." And the guy says, "Sir, yes, sir, I feel like I made my bed this morning." How's that going to go over if he didn't make his bed? I feel like I shaved today. Yeah, I feel like I shined my boots today. If he didn't do any of those things, how's that going to go over? "Oh, well, soldier, as long as you feel that way, we'll just let it go." I don't believe that's the way that it works. What if you turn in a paper to your teacher and the teacher returns it with a big fat F on it? And you go to them and say, "But teacher, I felt like I wrote 10 pages. I know it's only 2, but I felt like I wrote 10 pages. I felt like there was a 1-inch margin and it was double spaced and all of that. I feel..." Is she going to say, "Oh, okay, as long as you feel that way, I'll give you an A"? Is that how it works? If you tell your boss, "I feel like I worked 40 hours this week," when you didn't work at all, do your feelings have, when there are certain requirements of us, does it change? If your kid looks up at you and says, "I feel like I ate all the vegetables on my plate, but they hadn't touched any of them," you say, "Oh, well, as long as you feel that way, it's okay." Feelings are not a safe and reliable guide as we go through this life. So what about when it comes to our identity? Are feelings a safe and reliable guide when it comes to me deciding who I am, what I want to be? You think, well, where are you going with that? Well, what if there's a kid who goes to an amusement park and there's a sign that looks like this: "You must be this tall to go on this ride." And that little kid looks up at the operator and says, "But I feel like I'm that tall." Does the operator say, "Oh, as long as you feel like you're this tall, we're going to let you on this ride"? Is that how that works? No. You either are or you are not that tall. The way you feel about it, your height, doesn't change it. You've seen somebody on a playground get stuck because they felt like they weren't as big as they were? "I used to play here. I used to be able to do this." And you feel like you're smaller than you are. Do the feelings change your actual size? The Feelings don't change that. So suppose I go down to Miami and I do a walk-on with the Dolphins and I say, you know what? I feel like I'm 6'6". I feel like I'm 320 pounds. And I want to play offensive line for the Dolphins. What coach is going to look at me and say, your feelings don't matter, we're going to put you on the O-line, you're going to be right up front? What coach is going to do that, say your feelings don't matter? Do feelings determine? Are feelings a safe or reliable guide? Are you thinking through this? Are you thinking through the implications of this? Are feelings a safe and reliable guide when it comes to my age? How many guys, how many men have gone out on the basketball court and tried to keep up with the younger ones, and then they went home and the next day they couldn't get out of bed because they felt younger than they actually are? Well, I felt like you're not young anymore. How many people feel older or want to feel older? Well, if you're in high school, I feel like I ought to be able to be president of the United States. You're not old enough. Well, I feel like I'm old enough. There's set standards that are there. There are defined parameters and properties of these things that we say, no. Those cannot be changed regardless of your feelings. Can I just identify as some other ethnical background because I feel that way? I can't change that. Can I say, well, I feel like I'm a bird. I identify as a bird. And I climb up on top of the house and I'm going to go fly like a bird. How's that going to work out? Well, I feel like you're not a bird. You don't have any of the makeup of a bird. Doesn't matter how you feel. You are not and will never be a bird. Well, if you say, well, I feel like I'm a bighorn sheep. I feel like I'm a ram, and so I ought to be able to run into the walls in mom and dad's house. No, that's not you. Doesn't matter if that's the way that you feel. That is not what you are. You say, well, I just feel like I ought to be able to howl at the moon all night long because I feel like a wolf. You will never be a wolf. You will never have the makeup of a wolf. Your feelings are not a safe or reliable guide. How is it that in every single way that I have described and given examples of this morning, we say, yep, that doesn't work? Feelings do not determine any of that. How is it that it does not therefore apply when it comes to determining whether somebody is a male or a female, whether somebody is a man or a woman? Does the way that I feel about that all of a sudden change what I actually am? Can I feel like a bird and it makes me a bird? No. Can I feel a whole lot older and all of a sudden I'm a whole lot older? The way I feel doesn't change who I am and what I am. The way I feel does not change me from a male to a female or a female to a male just because those are my feelings. Any more than I can say, you know, I kind of feel like two men. You know, I've got two ears. I don't need two ears. I've got two eyes. I don't need two eyes. So I'm just actually two men. And now I can file taxes and claim one of me as a dependent, right? Because now I'm two men. But if I feel that way, tell me where it's wrong. Well, it's wrong because we don't base reality on feelings. How do we know that? I've done a lot of talking and we've done a lot of laughing at some pictures of David looking like he's not 6'6 and 320 pounds. How do we know that? Because when we pick up our Bible, what we find in our Bible is that God does not allow our feelings to be our guide in anything, including our identity and including in religion itself. It is not a safe guide. So I want you to get your Bibles, and let's just consider some things this morning. And I know this introduction has been long, so let me share with you some things very briefly about how we can go from just talking about these things to being able to prove them in discussion with others. We need to recognize what the Bible says, describes for us as the nature of our feelings. What are feelings like? Here's what feelings are. Feelings are things that you feel like you're doing something right when you're not necessarily doing something right. In Acts chapter 23, Paul said that he had lived in all good conscience before God until the day that he learned the truth about Jesus. What does that mean? Paul was killing Christians. Is that wrong to kill people? Absolutely wrong. It's wrong. Well, why was he killing Christians? Because he felt like it was right. He was sincere in what he was doing. He felt it was right. And he says, I've lived in all good conscience, but all of a sudden he learned that what he was doing was not right. What could cause somebody to do that? What could cause somebody to do something so wrong? Their feelings. Because feelings are something that are often deeply embedded within us. Deeply embedded. In Acts chapter 10, you read about Peter going to Cornelius' household. Peter was a Jew. Cornelius is a Gentile. He gets over there. He had to be convinced by God to go there in the first place because he didn't think he should go to the Gentiles. And he gets there in Acts 10. He says, I shouldn't be here because you're a Gentile and I'm a Jew. But he finally learned God doesn't see any difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. He finally learned that in verse 34 and 35. God doesn't see any difference in any people. He learned that truth. But you get over to Galatians chapter 2, and you know what Peter's doing? Galatians 2, Peter's in Antioch, and he's hanging out with the Gentiles because he's learned God sees Jews and Gentiles the same. We're all good. So he's hanging out with the Gentiles in Antioch in Galatians 2 until some of his Jewish friends from Jerusalem come to Antioch. And you know what Peter stops doing when those other Jews get there? He stops hanging out with the Gentiles. Why? Because now he feels that it's wrong. Where's that coming from? This is deeply embedded. His feelings are so deeply embedded that when his friends come along, he does not realize he's in the wrong by stepping away from the Gentiles. Sometimes our feelings are so down deep, we don't realize. And we've got to deal with that. Peter needed to deal with that. Feelings are something that are often influenced by other people. In Acts chapter 12, Herod arrested and put to death the apostle James. And then he arrested and was about ready to put to death the apostle Peter. You know why he arrested Peter? The reason he arrested Peter is because after he killed James, everybody liked him. The Jews loved him. He felt good. Herod felt like he was doing right. He felt great because everybody else was making him feel good. He says, you know what? Let's keep killing these apostles because the other people like it. Sometimes our feelings are influenced by other people. I want you to think about Joseph back in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph and his brothers and his father. I want you to think about what was going on in Genesis chapter 37. And I want you to think about the fact that sometimes our feelings can be misguided. And because they can be misguided and manipulated, our feelings can be mistaken. You get to the end of Genesis chapter 37. Do you know what feelings Jacob had at the end of Genesis chapter 37? The feelings Jacob had at the end of that chapter were feelings of sadness, feelings of mourning, because he thought his son Joseph was dead. Was his son Joseph dead? No, wasn't dead. Why did Jacob think his son was dead? Because his other sons convinced him, manipulated him to believe that his son Joseph was dead, and now he has feelings of sadness and mourning. Those feelings had been manipulated. If he knew his son was alive, he never would have had those feelings. Can our feelings be manipulated? Can our feelings be misguided to feel something that we shouldn't feel because somebody has led us down that path? Think about what's happening in Genesis 37. There are other people in this story who are having feelings. Sometimes their feelings were subject to certain conditions. How did Joseph's brothers feel towards him in Genesis 37? They hated him. Why? They hated him because his father gave him a coat of many colors, because he was having dreams of greatness and sharing those with his brothers. Those conditions led to feelings of hatred that his brothers had for him. Sometimes our feelings are affected not just by people, they're affected by conditions around us. And yet, if they can be, listen, if our feelings can be affected by conditions, what if those conditions change? What happens to our feelings? Our feelings change. You get to the end of the book of Genesis, and Joseph's brothers have different feelings towards his brothers. They went from hating him to hugging him in chapter 45 and chapter 50, begging him not to kill them. They love him now. What happened? Conditions changed. Can our feelings change when people change, when conditions change? When we wake up to the fact that maybe somebody's been trying to misguide my feelings down a wrong path. Are you noticing some things about feelings? Feelings are squirrely things, aren't they? And feelings vary to the person. If you go and study Joseph's brothers, they did not all have the same feelings. They hated Joseph. The majority of them wanted to kill him. Reuben said, nope, we're not going to kill him. Judah comes along and says, nope, we're not going to kill him. We're going to sell him instead. To the person, they did not have the same feelings. Just because somebody else around you feels something doesn't mean that you have to feel that same way. And just because you feel something doesn't mean somebody else is going to feel it. Our feelings vary to the person. They vary to the circumstance and the condition. And so what we've got to realize about feelings is while I can feel that I'm doing something right, I may be absolutely wrong in it. Paul felt like, Saul of Tarsus felt like, he was right in killing Christians. Was he? Absolutely wrong. And so when he writes 1 Timothy chapter 1, what does he say? I am the chief of sinners. Did he feel that way when he was persecuting Christians? No, he did not. But he learned, realized who he was and what he was doing, and he looked back on that. He saw the conditions in life had changed, and his feelings changed. And he realized, I felt like I was doing right, but I was actually doing wrong. Feelings, can you trust them? Feelings, are they a safe and reliable guide? The nature of feelings shows us just in Scripture. They're not safe and reliable. Look in Acts 26. Look at the passage that was read. And I want to show you just a few things in the verses that were read to show you the danger of trusting in feelings. That here's this Saul of Tarsus. And just we're going to look at verse 9, 10, 11 here. And I want you to see how much Saul trusted in his feelings. And I want you to see what his feelings led him to do. If we trust our feelings, guess what our feelings can lead us to do? If we trust our feelings can lead us to put my ideas above God's ideas. Look in verse 9. Paul says, indeed, I myself thought. Stop there. Paul, why were you persecuting Christians? Well, because I thought it was the right thing to do. What's Paul doing? Taking his ideas, putting them above God's ideas, saying, I like my ideas better than I like God's ideas. I thought this was a better idea. Was it a better idea? No, it was a horrible idea. But he took his ideas and he put them above God's ideas. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman was doing the same thing. Elisha told him to go and dip in the Jordan River, and Naaman says, behold, I thought he was going to tell me to do something great and wonderful. It's not what he said. But Naaman was ready to follow his feelings rather than following what Elisha told him to do. Our feelings can take our ideas and make us think our ideas are better than God's ideas. Is that dangerous? Notice what else it leads him to do. Not just to take his ideas and to elevate it above God's ideas, but it causes him to say, to look at himself as if he is the authority. Look at what he says in verse 9. I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Contrary to the name of, the authority of Christ. Here was the name of Jesus, and I don't care about, Paul was saying, I didn't care about the authority of Christ. I was the authority. Sometime in verses 9, 10, and 11, go through and circle how many times you find the little word I. Seven times In three verses, Paul is going to say, I. Who is the authority? Who is Paul looking at to obey himself? He was the authority. When we follow our feelings, all of a sudden the authority of God doesn't matter. And we make ourselves the authority instead. But look at what else our feelings involve. Verse 10, this I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints, Paul says in verse 10, I shut up in prison. Where did he get the authority to do that? Having received authority from the chief priests. Who told Saul to go and arrest and persecute these Christians? The chief priest did. Saul, why do you feel like this is a right thing for you to do? Because Saul was elevating what others told him to do over what God said. When you elevate what other people think and what other people say over what God says, you're following your feelings instead of following God. You see it in 1 Kings chapter 13, where the young prophet knew exactly what God told him to do. God had told him, don't stay in the city, don't eat, and don't go back the same way. An older, supposedly, wiser prophet comes along and says, oh, don't worry about what God said. Come and eat with me. What did the young prophet do? He did what the older prophet told him to do instead of what God told him to do. He followed his feelings, listening to some person and not listening to God. Our feelings will lead us down that path. Look at what else our feelings will cause us to do. Verse 10, he listened to the chief priest. The end of verse 10, when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. There was a vote being taken. Should we kill these Christians? Should we kill these Christians? There was a vote being taken. And what did Paul do? He went along with the crowd. Everybody else was casting their votes. Sure, I'll cast my vote to do it too. Our feelings can cause us to abandon rational thinking, to abandon the words of God, and go along with what everybody else is doing. You see that in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, there was a mob in the city of Jerusalem, and they all ran down into the Colosseum area. And the Bible tells us in Acts 19 that the mob was in such an uproar, most of the people didn't even know what was going on. They didn't even know why they were there. They were just there to be a part of the mob scene and to be chanting and be mad about something. But the Bible says they didn't even know what they were chanting and mad about. They were just there. What were they doing? Going along with the crowd. Following their feelings. What did Paul's feelings cause him to do? Paul's feelings caused him to use his influence to press his feelings on others. Look at what verse 11 says. I punished them often in every synagogue. Paul was a Jewish rabbi in his upbringing. He had the authority to go into a synagogue. He could go into any synagogue he wanted as a Jewish rabbi, and all of a sudden he's using that influence to go in and drag Christians out. Do you know anybody who's using their influence to press their feelings upon others? And then Paul says at the end of the verse that he was exceedingly enraged against them, and he persecuted them even to foreign cities. He was forcing his opinion on others to the point that he was persecuting them to make them say, I don't believe in Jesus. To make them say, I don't believe in God. He's forcing his opinion on them to get them to change their feelings. Folks, can you look at what's happening around us today? Do you see the progression of what happens in following our feelings on the screen? The danger of trusting our feelings and the danger of other people trusting their feelings is that we begin to elevate ourselves and our words above God. And when that happens, we start following everybody else around us, elevating everybody else around us over what God says, and we start allowing them to influence us over allowing God to influence us. Feelings are not a safe and reliable guide. So what do we do? What do we do about our feelings? We've got to learn that we've got to take our feelings and to see them the way that God sees them. And to realize that my feelings do not change objective realities. When you get in When you go to an elevator and you push the up button on that elevator, what does up mean? When you go push the down button, what is the down? When a pilot is trying to make a plane go up, is there a difference between the plane going up and the plane going down? Is there any difference in that? Yeah, an objective reality says up is up and down is down. Two different things. When we look at life, is there a difference between a square and a circle and a triangle? Their defined properties make them different. Is there a difference between red and blue and yellow? Their defined properties make them different, and my feelings don't change that. My feelings do not change the objective reality of what makes a male and what makes a female. Feelings will never change that. I might have certain feelings about that, but my feelings don't change what is the reality, because there are defined properties that make a male, and a female, and feelings are not part of that. My feelings do not change. They do not determine what God says and what God wants. They don't determine anything about God. Back in Acts 17, we had a sermon last week on Acts 17, and verse 29 was a part of it, where Paul was talking to these people who worshiped idols, and these people who worshiped idols, he says, do you think you can take the divine nature? You think you can take the divine nature and shape it? Shape it into some kind of art or devising of man? In other words, can you make something look like God? I want you to think about that. Can we make our feelings God? Can we take what we want and fashion what we want God to look like, and our feelings to fashion what we want God to be? We don't determine what divine nature is. We don't determine what God is. There's nothing we can do in our feelings to determine anything about God. We can't change. We can't determine God's will for us. That is set. It's His will. It's not our will. We cannot do anything to change the Word of God that's been given to us. My feelings don't change that. Even though I've studied with people whom we've read a verse and they said, I know that's what that verse says, but I feel in my heart this is what God wants me to do. No, the verse just told you what God wants you to do. What you feel in your heart doesn't change what the book says. My feelings don't change or determine the will of God for my life. They don't change the Word of God in my life. They don't change the weight of God. He has supreme authority, not me. I don't have any authority in the eyes of God. He has all the authority. And my feelings do not change the work of God. God created male and female. And 4,000 years later, Jesus said God created male and female. There were still differences and distinctions between the two, and they hadn't changed in 4,000 years since creation, and they haven't changed in another 2,000 years since Jesus was here. My feelings don't change how God made me. I've been trying to be careful because I don't want my energies and my passions to get in the way of what's being said today. And I want to make sure that what's being said today is not what David thinks, but what the Bible says. The Bible says that we have been created and fashioned by God. I may not feel like the way I'm supposed to feel in the body that I am in. But my feelings don't change the body that I am in. My feelings don't change anything about that. I can take steps to try to change the outward or even some part of the inward appearance of that body, but it does not change what that body is. And so what I've got to do is, instead of trusting my feelings, which are not a safe and reliable guide, what I've got to do is to learn to control and to train my feelings. Not just let feelings be whatever they want to be, but learn to control them and to train them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there were individuals in that church who used to be adulterers, they used to be fornicators, they used to be homosexuals. But Paul says, you gave that up. Such were some of you. You repented and now you're not that anymore. What changed? They allowed the gospel of Jesus to get inside of them and it changed them. They learned to control those sinful urges. You know the works of the flesh that are described in Galatians 5, verse 19 and 21. You know the fruit of the Spirit that's described in that same chapter, verse 22 and 23. And then you get to verse 24. In Galatians 5, verse 24, Paul says, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I can learn through Jesus Christ to control my passions and my desires. I can learn through Jesus Christ to learn to train my feelings. If I can't, then Paul feeling it was okay to crucify Christians was okay. Because Paul, that's your feelings. You were in good conscience, but Paul says, my conscience was wrong. My conscience had been trained wrong, and he had to retrain his conscience to know what God wanted him to do. Our feelings must be controlled. They must be trained. They must be conformed to the will of God. James chapter 4, I must submit myself to God. Too many people today have submitted themselves to the devil instead. But that same chapter says, resist the devil. Draw nigh unto God and resist the devil. Two different actions, but at the same time. May I plead with you, don't allow your feelings to be that which rules your life. Don't allow your feelings to be that which makes up your mind what's right and wrong. But conform yourself to what God says. To learn to control and to train your feelings to meet what God wants them to be. With the understanding that if I don't, that I cannot go to heaven. I've left this verse until the very end. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man. Can I change for the moment that word seems? There is a way that feels right unto a man. But the end thereof is death. He's not talking about physical death because everybody's going to have that. He's talking about spiritual death, eternally. There's a way that seems right, and God says, don't just follow it because it seems right. Get into your Bible and make sure that it is right. And if it's not right, change the way that you feel about it so that you feel that you want to do what's right. Our feelings are not a safe or reliable guide. And there is not a single thing that I can do to change that. There's not a single thing that I can feel that's going to change an objective reality when that objective reality has definitions, has properties, and has an authority given behind it that says this is what this is. A square is a square and it always will be. A circle is a circle and it always will be because there's defined properties there. A male is a male and always will be. Every doctor, every midwife from the beginning of time has gotten it 100% right. They looked, they saw, they announced. It's a boy, it's a girl. They could tell and they knew. And my feelings don't change that. Right is always right. Even if nobody else believes it. This is one of those sermons that some people really like. And this is one of those sermons that some people really are uncomfortable with. But this is one of those sermons that we need to get into the Word of God and just let God speak to us. We're allowing our society to lead us down some paths that are not going to take us to heaven. And we cannot allow our feelings to just go along with it and say that's okay, when in the eyes of God, it's not okay. When it comes to our salvation, feelings are not a safe or reliable guide. There may be some people who say, you know what? I feel like I'm on the right path. I feel like I'm on the right path going to heaven. The fact that you feel like you're on the right path, does that mean that you're on the right path? I'm going to tell you all something that nobody else on this earth knows. I hesitate to tell you. I thought about it as I was walking up here thinking, do I want to tell this story? For years and years, whenever I would fly somewhere, I'd be flying out of Palm Beach International Airport. Closest airport, right? Until they just stopped having all the flights that I needed. And so we've been going to Fort Lauderdale for most of our flights over the last few years. More flights available. So I'm used to that trip down to the Fort Lauderdale Airport now. On and back all the time. Not too long ago, we were fortunate enough to find a PBI flight. It was like, yes, we don't have to drive to Fort Lauderdale. We got a PBI flight. We don't have to leave as early. It's closer. This is wonderful. Do you know I made it all the way, that day, I made it all the way down to the Fort Lauderdale Airport before I realized I'm supposed to be at the PBI airport today. That was not a good day. But I felt like I'm going the right place. I've been this road before. I go here all the time. I know where to park. I know how to get in the terminal. I felt right all the way down there until, dong, I'm in the wrong place. Could you be on the wrong path, but you feel like you're on the right one? Do you need to open your eyes today and say, wait a minute. The way I feel about where I am may not be what's actually right. There may be some people say, well, I feel like I'm in the right church. This is a nice place. I like what they say. I like what they do. I like what they teach. I feel like I'm in the right church. Have you ever been in an elevator and you got off on the wrong floor? Why'd you get off on the wrong floor? Because you thought it was the right floor. You pushed the button. You got in. You pushed the number. The doors open. You stepped out and you looked around. And you're like, not in the right place. Why did you get out? Because you thought it was the right place. And then you learn differently. Is it possible you might feel like you're in the right church, but you may not be in the right church? Somebody might say, I feel like I'm saved. I feel like I'm saved. What does that feel like? What does saved feel like? What verse in your Bible would you go to say, this is what saved feels like? Is it possible that you could feel saved but not actually be saved? I've read stories, you have too, I'm sure, about prison inmates who were given news, you're going to be freed. And they started making preparations. They started looking forward to that day. And they knew that day was coming, and when that day arrived, they said, this is the day I'm going to be freed. I cannot wait. I've got all these plans. When I get out, I'm going to do this and this and this. This is going to be the greatest day ever. And then they found out, oh, wait, no, it wasn't you. It was this other guy. Did they feel like they were going to be freed that day? Did they feel like they were getting out? Did they feel saved? They did. Except their feelings had misled them. Could you feel saved and not actually be saved? The only way to absolutely know if you are saved, if you are in the right church, and if you are on the path to heaven, is if you have gotten into this book and you have obeyed what this book says. And if you look at what, here's what I did do, and here's what the Bible says to do. Did I do what this book says to do? Because this book says I need to believe with all of my heart that Jesus is God's Son. I've got to do that in order to be saved, to be in His church, and to be on my path to heaven. And I've got to repent of my sins. It's not optional. Except you repent, you'll all likewise perish, Jesus said in Luke 13:3. So I've got to do that. Did I do that? Did I make up my mind I need to stop doing what's wrong and start doing what's right? Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Romans chapter 10. Did I do that? That's the only way I can know that I'm saved and that I'm in the right church and on the path to heaven. But that's not all that the Bible says. The Bible also says that I need to be immersed into Christ. I need to be buried in water, not water sprinkled on me, but I need to be buried in water, immersed, raised, but for what purpose? To demonstrate to the world that I've been saved? You won't find a verse that teaches that. As an outward sign of an inward grace? You won't find a verse that teaches that. Why do I need to be baptized? Why was I baptized? The Bible says that a person needs to be baptized in order to have all of their sins forgiven, Acts 2 and verse 38. Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, Acts 22 and 16. That's why the Bible says a person needs to be baptized. And it is then and only then, when I know that I've been baptized for the right reason, in the right way, that I can know that I'm saved. I know I'm in the right church. I know I'm on the path to heaven. And then when I'm raised out of that water, I continue to walk a new life in Christ, faithful to Him. I'm not asking you this morning, do you feel saved? I'm asking you this morning, are you saved? Do you know it because you've done what this book says? If you don't know that you're saved today, why don't you make that right now as together we stand and sing.